Today is what? Today's Wednesday, the 27th of January, the year of our Lord, 2021. It is
7:31 p.m.
There we go.
PST.
Yes, sir, it is. We are sitting down. What is this place? Yeah.
This is the Esplanade.
The Esplanade. There we go. The Esplanade in Redondo Beach, in scenic Redondo Beach. It's dark.
The 90277, if you will.
There we go. Down by the Picasso Apartments. I think that's what this is. The apartments that each cost, like, what, $5,000 for a single bedroom? 200 square feet. You're paying San Fran prices for a cupboard, basically. You got one window. It's kind of like a jail cell.
Possibly one window. Possibly.
If they're nice.
Yeah.
If the manager.
You need an extra few hundred a month if you want a window.
If the landlord likes you, yeah. If you want a full door, you gotta slip the landlord a little something every month.
Gotta give him favors.
life goes on. We were just having a vigorous discussion about home buying. I know it's not the first thing that comes to mind to our conflicted generation that is just now completing their graduate studies and their college education and is finally entering the workforce. But Ferris, please tell me about what you think about home buying. When should we start buying homes? In which circumstances should we buy homes?
You know, based off starting employment, I feel like you should be focused on making a savings of some sort, having that 401k, always having your company contribute the highest percentage they can.
Yeah.
So make sure you're putting in the most that you can into your Fidelity, your Schwab.
There you go.
Or Investopedia, whatever it is, the invest.org account, whatever they're using. Take advantage of all their benefits and make sure to save so you do have a chance at, you know, staking some land, right, Luke?
In Utah. There we go. We're going to stake some land in Utah or Alaska.
The last on the salt frontier. Flats, Luke. On the salt flats.
Okay. What's the prime age to buy a house? If you're a young, upward mobile professional like yourself and you just landed your first job, when is the prime age to buy a house? To make that transition from the young bachelor to the responsible
homeowner. You know
what?
It's still going
to
be a bachelor pad, Luke. Don't
That's what I like
sugarcoat
to hear.
It. It's still a bachelor pad. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a beautiful first home. It'll be something. It's a roof
what
over your head.
About?
It's insulated, and that's all that matters,
it's
right?
Maybe in downtown Beverly
With
Hills.
With our insane climate change right now, all I want is a roof over my head. And that's all you can really ask for. Especially with the prices we're seeing, right?
So you want an earthquake-proof house. Got it. The only climate change you got to be worried about over here.
There you go. So, prime age, I don't know. What do you think, Luke? What do you think?
I guess it depends on when you find a partner, right? Also depends a lot on when your partner wants.
It could also be an independent venture, right?
An independent, house,
or maybe even a couple of friends.
I don't know why you're
trying to stake into a
buying
home.
A house if you're only the only one living there is kind of a little too much, right? I don't know.
Yeah,
it seems like that
a little lonely. Yeah. If you buy with a friend though, it's half and half. Let's say you go in halfsies, you know.
Yeah.
Halfsies. You own it sooner, like buying like a duplex or a quadplex or whatever they're called.
Okay. Yeah.
Multi-unit area. You buy with a friend. You live in one of them. Because let's say they're all two-bedroom units and there's four of them. You rent out the other three, bam. Passive income. Bam. You can afford it because there's two of you.
And you have company.
Bam. You also have housing for life. Bam. You've won in life.
Bam.
There you go. I don't know.
Beautiful.
That's
like
a patented it. Idea. Don't try to steal that.
Patented idea. Patent pending.
There you go. There you go.
As they say. Yeah, when do people start buying houses? I mean, we have some friends who've are already in the process of buying a house.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh, they're close. They're close. I'd say they're close.
Yeah.
They're closer than others.
Well, our friend Katrina is already buying a house. I think I have a couple other.
Okay, that's partner based. But let's say if it was an independent venture, right? That's based on relocation and the partner aspect. Okay. That's a little different.
Yeah.
Maybe starting a family is next for them, but it doesn't have to imply buying a home means starting a family, right?
Yeah, no.
It doesn't have to, but it most of the time does, yeah.
Remember Mr. Hedges?
Yes.
How he bought a house at like 24 or something crazy like that? It's crazy. Man, it was a guru at investing. Oh, man. Yeah.
Can't lose money on real estate, right?
What's up?
Can't lose money on real estate, right?
Oh, yeah. Especially now. I mean,
just don't get it when the bubble bursts, right?
That's right.
Miss R would say,
if
the bubble was going to burst.
The bubble bursting. Yeah. Oh, dear. It's funny looking at the stock market and seeing at like the 10 or like the past 10 year performance of stocks. And like at 2008, every stock takes a dip. Like
all of them were around for that, though.
Mid to late 2008. Yeah, but the ones who were, like every single one dipped at that point. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
They were like going up and up and up, and it just like sharp nosedive, and then like started going back up and recovering.
What a concept, dude.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like, I don't know, like about like investing these days. It's like, it's kind of crazy, you know? Yeah, but you know, actually a good segue into the stock market. We've had a tumultuous last few
arguments based on stocks. Stonks. Stonks always increase.
Vigorous discussions.
Sure, sure.
On the nature of stocks and Roth IRAs and investing at this ripe young age. Now that we have entered the labor market.
Yeah.
The labor force. The stocks took a tumble today.
They did.
The Dow was down 600 points.
I definitely felt that.
Some people... Yeah, definitely felt the pinch of in my wallet. My portfolio wasn't doing too hot. But definitely a good time, always a good time to invest, start a Roth IRA. I mean, whether my younger brother, I'm trying to get him to start a Roth IRA. Well, he can't even start an IRA. My mom would have to start it for him. But, I mean, geez, even at 17, you should start your Roth IRA and start just putting in a little extra cash every once in a while and just start investing.
It's that peace of mind, really. It's not even about like, I put in $100, right. Like it's nothing, blah, blah, blah. But it's that peace of mind knowing that, hey, I'm starting.
That's right.
And it's like a good trend. Right. It's something, it's a great habit to have. Just throwing it in there, even if you think, it's nothing, whatever. It's just an extra $20 for this week, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's $20, $5, whatever, yeah, like it's great.
$50, $100 a week. I mean, you probably spend that money on just coffee and going out and just save a little and just put it in there. And
yeah, I mean, are you going out right now?
No. Reap the dividends. Well,
there you go.
We're the proud patrons of Ding-a-ling.
Okay. I meant going out, like where hundreds for sure. per champagne bottle.
Yeah, stop drinking, lay off the alcohol, and start investing.
Absolutely not. Don't take that advice. Gamble away your money on stonks, right? It's just a gamble.
Really astute observation. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. So stocks.
You're in Vegas right now. There you go.
The Dow took a tumble. What is going on Reddit? Like, what's going on with these Reddit, like...
The Reddit hype trains?
Yeah. What the hell is going on?
Dude, okay. Why is AMC, GameStop... what was it? BlackBerry.
I didn't even know that. I didn't know that company.
Bed Bath and Beyond. That's actually a great store. Great store. I love that store. They have everything for your home there. If you're moving in somewhere new, no. Bed Bath and Beyond is amazing.
Were they part of the hype?
Yeah, they were. They were on the list.
I guess we should give our listeners some context.
They'll know. They've seen it everywhere.
What happened? What happened here? Give us a quick recap for posterity.
It was on the Reddit stonks pages.
Okay.
Reddit stocks pages. Some billionaire, I believe. Forgot which one.
Elon Musk?
No, some other billionaire.
Well, Elon Musk hyped it up. He tweeted about it.
Oh, yeah. But some billionaire went in and threw a couple million into these stocks. Speculation came about, and that's what shot them up, correct?
I thought it was just...
The simple explanation.
I thought it was just the whole Reddit group or the community wanted to just rally... Like towards like a few failing stocks. Nokia was also part of it too.
Nokia, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So Nokia, BlackBerry, which has been falling for the past, like five, seven years.
They were cool in 2006.
Yeah. It's 21. We were like in middle school. Yeah. That was 10 years ago when they like made their last good phone and then Apple kind of took over the market and, Samsung. Yeah. So, basically, these people on Reddit wanted to, I think, demonstrate that you can just get a bunch of people to rally behind a few, like, like a few sinking stocks, and GameStop's stock shot up like 600%. How much was it?
I thought it was 600%.
Something obscene. Yeah. And it's like, it's completely overvalued. Like, even the CEOs of Nokia came out and said, I don't know why. Like, there's like no reason why our stock should be this high. So it was crazy. They just got a bunch of people who just bought a bunch of stocks and saw the stock value increase. Like, what was GameStop worth before all of this?
I believe it was $40-$50, because that's what one of my friends had invested into them about 2-3 months ago. They were at $50, I believe. $40-$50. Wall Street Bets, I believe, is the subreddit. It's a small community.
Okay, it was $42
yeah.
5 days ago, and it currently stands at $347.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Wild.
That is insane.
The real question is, will it continue to rise? Is it settling?
It can't.
Is that speculation over? And I still want to understand, how did the speculation start? Why GameStop? Do you buy? Is constantly buying and selling stocks drop? Why the stock market is going up? Blah, blah, blah.
Okay, CNN comes out with an article saying, how Trumpism explains the GameStop stock surge. What does Trumpism have to do with this?
Okay, I also heard that it was part of the COVID reorganization of tiers. I heard that was part of it.
Oh.
That caused some commotion in the market. Not specifically for the AMC, BlackBerry, Nokia, Bed Bath & Beyond, GameStop. I don't think that was all in the same realm of issues. Well, that's not an issue, obviously. Those stocks rocketing off.
Even CNN is befuddled. They're saying, quote, seemingly inexplicable stock surge of GameStop, unquote. Yeah, that's wild.
Reddit investors.
r/ Wall Street Bets. That's where it all began. Oh, geez. GameStop stock. So they're thinking that this is a result of Trump's attempt to smear the elites in this country. Like, this is a reflection of this anti-establishment sentiment.
Sure, you may decide to eat the last.
CNN definitely doesn't like Elon Musk.
So you always think news, unbiased.
CNN, what kind of bullsh? I know, man.
You can't tell me all these media, they're not biased. Yeah. You know, they don't have biases towards people.
They don't hide it. It's like everybody knows.
But you can't have that in media. That's what we were. Check this out. We were taught.
December 28th, it was GameStop was trading at $20.99 a share. On Wednesday, it was just under $335.
It's insane.
That's crazy. It's gonna end eventually. I mean, it can't keep going on forever. I mean, GameStop's not even valued. I mean, aren't they failing? Like, they're closing down their stores.
They need to restructure, right? Because they don't really care for the in-person aspect. They want that online to continue the virtual game buying and all that, the market, like the Play Stores and all that.
Right? I mean, do they? I think
because you can buy a game directly on your PlayStation or on your Xbox or whatnot.
Is there any space left for GameStop?
I feel like their used market is probably what keeps them in, right? And like giving people money for their old console.
Yeah.
Right? Because everyone, if they want to liquidate quickly, they can.
Right.
With GameStop.
Right.
For pennies to the dollar, of course.
Yeah.
You remember that, right?
Oh, in high school. GameStop.
Not even middle school.
Doing you dirty.
Lost all my money to GameStop.
Whatever
you guys have made on this stock, that's all the money that us kids threw in to them, giving them our brand new PS4s when we didn't want them anymore. We paid $500 for the bundle, got back $50 the next day, okay? That is all truth right there.
Remember, you'd come
pennies
up
to the dollar, dude.
With your lightly used Modern Warfare 2, and
it was $65 brand new, $75, whatever.
Yeah, the guy behind the counter said, I can do $7.
He says, you know, $6.50. I see. It's been through the machine at least once. You know, at least once. Definitely unopened, right?
Oh my gosh, GameStop.
Prices it right back, $5 less than retail.
Oh gosh.
It's back up to $65.
Worse than a flea market.
It's insane, dude.
In Chinatown.
literally stole from kids.
Oh my God.
Legally stealing from little kids who saved for so long to get that gaming system.
Oh my gosh.
That's why gaming. There you go, gaming.
There you go.
There you go. What a monopoly, right?
Oh boy.
Let's see. Let's see. What other stock is there? BlackBerry. They went from, in their 1 week, from January 22nd, they were at $12.40-ish, all the way up to right now, $26. So practically doubled in value. Okay.
That's crazy. BlackBerry. They haven't made a single successful product since the 2010.
I thought it was 06. Bed Bath & Beyond, great place, though. They deserve whatever
but
they're getting.
But Bed Bath & Beyond isn't struggling, right?
Yeah, $30-ish all the way up to right now. They're at $52, $53.
Okay.
So also almost doubled in value in a week.
Okay.
AMC, dying company. Dying. Gasping for air at this point.
Gasping.
Gasping. They were at $5 a share at their highest before this. Now they're at $19 a share. Imagine that.
Oh boy.
A dying company, nonetheless. What a concept. I don't know how they're going to retain this value to their stock. Oh, you're going to have to pull out immediately. But whoever got the chance to ride the wave, congratulations. Congratulations. Wall Street Bets, I might have to get on.
Wall Street Bets.
There you go.
I hear some platform took them off or closed them down because of like hate speech or something.
On Wall Street Bets?
No, it was like, what's it called? Discord. Have you heard
yes,
of Discord?
Yes, yes, yes. Musk was on Discord recently. It's like a server platform, so you can chat with many, many people. It's used for gaming.
They cited like hate speech or like violations or something like that.
I don't doubt that happened.
Social media censorship happening right here in America, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that brings us to our next question, which is quantum computing, because this is something that's, you know, technology that's burgeoning right now, offering the tantalizing promise of being able to solve all of our problems, or many of our technical problems.
Okay.
Are you familiar with quantum computing? Did you cover this in your program?
I have not. Run me through it, Luke, please.
Okay, so, and I'm... As a layperson who has no technical background, essentially, if you could boil it down to an example, a regular classic computer, like if you give a problem to a classic computer, the computer, it solves the problem by testing out variations or different solutions one by one, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. And this takes time because you have to go through every single variation. Every single possible
definitely solution. Testing each scenario. Okay,
right. A quantum computer, which uses quantum physics, basically allows a computer to test every single solution simultaneously. Okay. Like, or not every single, but multiple solutions simultaneously.
Okay.
And the more quantum qubits, what they're called, as opposed to bits in classical computers, the more more qubits you have in a quantum computer, the more parallel processes you can run.
So more multitasking.
So a problem that would take like our world's best supercomputer 10,000 years to solve could take a theoretical quantum computer 3 minutes to solve.
Gotcha.
Because it's testing everything simultaneously. And there are applications. I mean, the applications are endless. Like in communication, China's heavily investing in this. They're billions of dollars a year into quantum technology. And they're exploring communication, like secure communication, like impenetrable lines of, like impenetrable security in communications, like phone, video conversations. So those applications, I mean, military applications are practically endless as well. But did you see my question in the group chat earlier today?
I did not.
Nobody answered.
I appreciate that background on quantum computing.
Yeah. It's really exciting. But it's really interesting because this is something this is going to be the single most important breakthrough, apart from maybe artificial intelligence. And these two kind of go hand in hand because artificial intelligence if it's combined with quantum computing, it will greatly enhance. It will almost near limitlessly expand the ability of artificial intelligence to learn at exponential speeds, you know?
Yeah.
And compute so much more than anything that we could ever do, even with our best supercomputers now. Meaning that these quantum computers or these quantum-based artificial intelligences, I guess you can say, these things, it was like basically Terminator, all right? So the Matrix is coming, in other words.
Basically.
What do you think about that? What do you think about... Because this will happen in our lifetime. That's the crazy thing. Like, this will... In the next... Like, right now, like, Google, I mean, IBM, China, a lot of Chinese companies are making headway. Like, they're flying, you know, and trying to develop the first, like, fully functioning quantum computer that can beat the world's best supercomputer right now. Which I think either... The U.S. or China has it. I know they always like switch spots. Like the U.S. invests a better one, and then China builds a better one the following year. And then it's like
it's an ongoing war, just like Bezos versus Musk and
Well. But right, but here's the funny thing: Whoever designs the first quantum computer will blow the other competition right out of the water. Because like it's a computer that will be able to solve any problem. And supercomputers will be a thing of the past, or at least in my limited understanding, that's
why. Do you think we're going to blow everyone else out of the park, let's say, if we had it first, which hopefully we will?
Well, then again, it probably won't, because another country like Russia or China or India will probably develop it as well. But the applications for that are really interesting, like being able to solve the most pressing scientific problems and dilemmas of our day within minutes or within days, as opposed to years. Isn't that interesting?
Very. Yeah, that's a lot to comprehend overall. Just knowing all the applications and any answer, really. Just a couple of minutes.
What do you think? You think something like that
limitless.
Enhance or would that disable our society?
Oh, that's a hard one. It's definitely something really dangerous to be playing around with. Right. And I mean, if we're all working towards the same goal here, if everyone's trying to get the best of the best right now, and they're trying to develop something before anyone else does, we have to get in on that, and we have to be first then.
Yeah, dude.
For our own sake. Not to use it against anyone, but to have that, and have that understanding.
Yeah.
Because until we discover anything, we can't really speak on it or understand its capabilities.
Right.
So, definitely something dangerous, but so is everything else when we're working with things we don't know anything about, right?
Yeah, dude. I was watching a Netflix documentary yesterday. I'll send it over to you later. About, you know, you mentioned this about that interaction between. Oh, it was actually a documentary about espionage.
Mm.
You know, you're.
I watched the Snowden one you sent me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that one.
What did you think?
Great stuff. Yeah. Great stuff.
Wait, the movie?
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah.
It was on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. It was a good movie. I thought it was a good movie. So there's a documentary about espionage and how espionage has evolved over the past century.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about the next evolution of espionage will involve artificial intelligence and quantum computing. Because if you can have, instead of like having a special operations team inserting into enemy territory and going and infiltrating and like clearing buildings and like fighting bad guys, imagine if you have a team, and these guys are saying, like, imagine if you have a team of robots that are in constant communication, functioning as one organism with multiple different physical embodiments, like these robots that, like, you know, the Boston Dynamics people on YouTube, they're always out posting videos of like their dog robot or their human robot that's walking up and down stairs and running around in the forest. Have you seen those videos?
I have not.
You haven't seen those videos?
I have not.
They're always uploading a video here and there about their robots that they're developing. I think it's part of MIT, but it's called Boston Dynamics. And so imagine having a team of killer robots going through a populated area, all constantly communicating with each other and computing things at the speed of light and just examining every possible scenario for how like the course of the battle will go and finding the best solution in an unbeatable robotic adversary that doesn't rely on human control.
And this would be an aspect to this computing system, correct?
Yeah, well, once you develop this quantum computing technology to that level, you can... Every technology is always somehow swept under the military rug, you know, or swept into the military fold, you can say.
There you go.
Everything has everything finds a way into the military.
It has an application one way or another, right?
DARPA's going to find a way
one way or another, they'll make it work.
There you go. DARPA's making the robots. They're just waiting for Google to finish up the job.
There you go.
With the computer.
Let them develop get through all the quirks, right?
Do the heavy lifting and they'll take care of the rest. That's literally the Terminator, right? Robots.
Any sci-fi, right. Really.
Could you imagine an army of killer robots that are constantly communicating with each other and mapping out every possible alternative to a battle?
Yeah.
Right? And then entering an enemy territory and just wiping out the other side.
They're playing with tanks and drones. We're playing with dynamic robots, you know? Automated, dynamic killing machines.
Until the other side creates their own killer army
of
robots.
But we have faster computing power, okay?
So it's going to be an arms race. Which side
who
can develop
better,
faster?
5G LTE, right, Luke? Who has more of it?
By that time, it'll be E to the 100th LTE.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, dear. That's scary. Bro, it's time to pack our bags and move to Mars, all right? Skynet is going to be taking over.
Not
us.
The Mars talk.
Oh dear.
Oh God.
That's why I asked the question today in the group chat. Is there any space left for humanity? If machine like careers like your own. I don't want to make you paranoid or anything. But like engineering, for instance, if you can have a robot that just solves all the engineering issues for you, what's the point for engineers? What's the data analyst? That profession will disappear in the next 30 years. Because if you have robots that just do everything for you, I mean, data analysts, all you're doing is crunching numbers, right? Right now, as it stands. Like, if you go get like data analysis.
And then reviewing what you get after you crunch the numbers.
You don't need a human to do that if a computer can do it as faster than anything on Earth, right?
Sure.
Or anybody on Earth.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And if that, once the technology evolves to a point where it's mass produced and it's widely available, like you have a quantum computing for a smartphone, I don't know.
Okay, you make it sound like this is all like really cheap and accessible at the moment.
Well, dude, remember when...
It won't be.
Think about the time between the arrival of cellular technology and right now. Like, cell phones were introduced in the 90s. We're in 2020. You can do anything on your
iPhone. But you could have done anything on the iPhone what? Second generation, it's the same thing.
No, but even the iPhone, look at how, like, the difference between the capabilities of that phone and the phone that you have in your hand.
Now we have a photography machine in our hand. We have a professional camera in our hand.
The camera is a professional camera.
Yeah, we have that. We have faster speeds. And what else? You know, more features.
So much faster.
That's it, right? We haven't made any other changes besides.
Well, the iPhone, well, like, smartphones, like, I'm saying, like, the period between the iPhone today and when cell technology was first introduced or cellular
technology.
Okay,
that's a larger gap.
That's not that long. It's only 30 years.
Okay.
And I'm saying, like, once this technology is refined and well-developed, it will eventually find its way into the civilian market or into the consumer market, and then it'll be mass-produced.
Definitely. How do you think we're going to get there without our engineers?
We're going to be looking at YouTube videos about how to custom build your own quantum computer.
There you go. Where do you think the engineering goes, Luke? Where?
Well, you're still going to...
I'm not saying the
engineering was going to disappear entirely. I mean, you're still going to need people.
You just need people of a higher caliber now, right?
But once you... Like, I read something the other... Or actually today, about how they're teaching quantum computers how to develop their own algorithms. In other words, teaching computers how to find their own ways to solve problems.
Oh, God.
So
that's scary.
So once a computer reaches that level of sophistication, like, what's the point, or what space is left? I'm not saying it will happen overnight, like all engineering will disappear. But ultimately, as technology spreads, I mean, it probably won't happen during our, you know, active years in the labor market. It will probably be our kids who have to deal with that and our grandkids. But I mean, in the long term, what do you think is going to happen once you have a computer like that?
It's the robot's world. I'm just living in it, you know? Is that what you're telling me?
What's going to be left for humans?
I don't... That's a great question, Luke. It really is. And at the moment, you know, we don't have those amazing strides, right? You know, we're seeing some strides in the right direction, but they're not colossal strides, right?
When we were born, our parents were using palms, all right? Remember the palms? The palm pads? You know the palms, right? They're like the first, like the first major, like pad. They're like the Samsung Note, like the earliest.
Oh, okay, yeah. Samsung with the stylus.
Yeah, with the stylus embedded in it, or yeah. Like there's a yeah. It was iconic, right?
And we're back to that now. Every with iPad Pros and Apple Pencils, right? But
between then and now, like, not a lot. I mean, comparatively, not a lot of time has passed.
Okay. This technology. But we made the same technology just better, right? With the pads and the stylus. Now we have iPad Pros beginning and Apple Pencil 2s, right?
Beginning of the 20th century, people were walking around on horses. Walking around and using horses. By the end of the 20th century, we had bullet trains. So it's fast. This technology is fast.
Well, there's a lot of talk of that underground high-speed rail get you to SF in, what, 40 minutes from here? It's going to take time. It's going to take time if you want to get there, right?
I'm not saying that we're gonna have to deal with the problems. But
No, I know.
The next
know.
Generation.
There's definitely going to be some more concern as to where you can apply yourself, if that's what you're trying to
right,
get at.
Right,
definitely. Your application as a single individual.
I genuinely think data analysis as a profession is going to disappear. I think computer scientists are going to start fading away as well.
Because if the computer does everything on its own.
If the computer, not only does it do everything on its own, but it learns how to do everything on its own. It keeps evolving. Like, that's the scary thing. That computers, you can teach a computer how to teach itself. And how to keep evolving. And how to keep developing
and
new
then
algorithms.
It can teach its kids how to teach them,
it
right?
It can teach its
it
terminators.
It can give birth to kids, right?
And before long...
It's their world, we're just living in it.
You have a nuclear holocaust.
Oh, my.
Oh, boy. Well, We will postpone thoughts of the inevitable apocalypse before us.
With the automation revolution, right?
Speaking of the apocalypse, Biden's first week in office.
Oh, exciting stuff, Luke. Exciting stuff.
Ferris, tell me what's going on.
He had to go after the one bill that I needed to keep my insulin like cheap as water. Cheap as water. He had to go after that bill.
Tell us what happened.
I'm not completely sure. I saw it in my T1D, my type 1 diabetic group chats, my Facebook chats,
right.
The groups on all social medias mentioning that, you know, our insulin wouldn't be cheap like water. No more.
No more.
And that's slightly an issue. I don't know why he attacked that first or reversed it out of spite for the Trump administration was their claim. He was striking out all of his executive orders. If I remember correctly.
Overturn them.
Yeah, overturn all of
his
executive orders.
In this case?
I'm not even completely sure. And I feel like we don't know where it might go. He might add something even better.
Hopefully.
But as of yet, it's just been overturned. Okay. That one bill that was helpful to our community. So we'll see what happens next, right?
Did you read through that article? Like, what were the specifics?
There wasn't much information in the article, really.
Okay.
So it just went over the basics, like the price is going to go back to something higher.
Okay.
Don't know the range of the prices, but it's going to reverse what he had done to make it cheaper.
What were the specifics of Trump's executive order on this? Like, did he?
It was subsidized of some way subsidized
by the government, by the federal
yeah.
government.
Yeah,
that's odd that that Biden would strike that.
Well, it's said in the article that it was a lot of spite for his administration that he was overturning a bunch of these bills.
Let's get the facts and see what's going on. I mean, they'd have to have some compelling reason to overturn that.
But maybe to get something better, hopefully.
I don't know. First article that comes up. Did Biden just raise the cost of insulin by freezing a Trump administration that would have made insulin less expensive? Some media...
17 executive orders over 24 hours, by the way. One of the top articles that came up.
That's weird. Yeah. You better have something, a replacement bill or something, because this is not cool at all.
What it aims, he wants to increase testing for sure, yes. Trying to use of vaccine development, increase in production of types of syringes, allow pharmacists to extract an extra dose of vaccine vials.
Wow, patients. Well, this is under Trump's order. Patients would receive a 1 month supply of insulin for just $7 in underserved communities. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's interesting.
Community health center?
Okay, so the Biden administration says that, or no, some, oh, never mind. This is another organization that says that, quote, the executive order was a slap in the face because we were already a low-cost alternative to high prescription drug price. The executive order just created massive red tape. It's not a good rule, unquote. All right.
Epinephrine rule.
Okay, the Biden administration's regulatory freeze does not impact a new insulin discount that took effect January 1st. That discount, announced last year by Trump and Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, allows seniors who sign up. Okay.
There it is. The part, this freeze is part of Biden's administration's large-scale effort announced this week that will scrutinize the Trump administration's health policies. That is word for word.
Okay.
Part of the article.
With participants, so individuals who are willing to pay for the enhanced coverage are eligible to receive a $35 price cap. We can verify the Biden administration did freeze a new rule that would mandate community health centers pass along insulin discounts to their patients.
So there should be a new rule coming into effect, is what I'm seeing.
So it seems like there's another discount that the Trump passed that they're not striking down, but they're striking down this particular part. It's a regulatory freeze. It's not causing... There's no evidence to suggest the rule further lower. I guess we'll have to wait and see what actually happens. I'm reading a lot of legal jargon. Well, we're going to have to see how this actually plays out into reality. It's the thing with these executive orders, you know, they say one thing, but when it actually comes down to it, that's the thing with any piece of legislation. When you actually see it manifest in reality, it can be a little different than how it's been advertised. But yeah.
It's definitely a big issue. 20 million Americans at the minimum, it claims. Americans have diabetes, right? More than 20 million.
Right.
So we definitely need this. Yeah. He's going to have to tend to it. He's going to hear a lot back from his audience.
There we go. So, let's hope he does. We need cheaper drug prices, not more expensive.
Big pharma, right?
Jeez, big pharma, yeah. Medicating half of our country.
Yeah.
We don't...
For anything.
We have sorely lost this 40-year-long drug war. Isn't it crazy that we've been at war with drugs for 40 years? 40 years. And the situation in our country has only deteriorated. Hasn't improved in the slightest. So, what other exciting Trump developments? Oh, Trump's Trump's judicial appointees are coming in to save the day for him. Because,
fighting his many lawsuits?
Biden, did you hear about Biden, how he overturned Trump's executive order for deportations at the border? Like, a federal judge in Texas blocked Biden's halt of Trump's order, citing concerns about how it wasn't based in any, it had any compelling basis. So, he's getting the same opposition that Trump faced
mm-hmm.
when he got into office from his executive orders. It was interesting. It's how the cycle is repeating. Did you see Trump also created the office of the former president?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
He's got a new website and everything. He's got the seal.
Oh, my goodness. He's running for 24, so.
Yeah, yeah. That would be wild if Trump actually comes back in 24.
That would be something else.
It's
yeah.
such a meme.
Well, part of the meme was also signing the most executive orders. Was he trying to break a record? There was also that talk on every single website.
17 orders in one day.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I don't know. That was also a huge talk. Wow, he's yeah. trying to break a record, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't even matter. He just wants to scrutinize the yeah. administration prior. You know, like, did you actually read through everything? Did you care about it? Did you put any thought into it? Or were you just taking his name out to put your own bills in, right?
Hey, in his inaugural address, he said he wanted a bipartisan you know, approach to all of this.
Bipartisan?
Unilateral, that's what
he meant. There it is. he wants his name on everything.
He mixed up the words in his speech. Should fire his speechwriter.
Not the first time.
Our boy Joey. We need to get somebody in there who's competent. We need to get somebody like, I don't know, so like Andrew Yang or Tulsi Gabbard, or I'm even down for Bernie. You know, somebody who's going to, you know, overhaul the system and get some real change in there. But the only problem about the one of the many problems about the presidency is you have to be beholden to some corporate interest in order to get to that office. Like, you've got to be in somebody's pocket to get to the presidency. Did you hear how Biden's ag secretary pick, who's going to be confirmed, who might have already been confirmed or is going to be confirmed next week, was Obama's agricultural secretary, and who's also the president of like one of the biggest like lobbying groups for like Monsanto and these other big corporate big agriculture interests.
I saw something about this, but I don't remember.
And during Trump's presidency, he was the president of this lobbying firm for. It's like the old. I mean. Out with the old, in with the new.
It all comes back around.
Out with the new, in with the old.
There it is.
We're going to be eating soybeans and cornflakes till kingdom come.
Most sustainable, right? Most sustainable.
Yeah, we're all, you know, our country is already dying because we're eating the same three foods. We're eating wheat, soybeans, and corn in just different variations. It's all those three categories are in everything we eat.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
They're a base. What can I say? They're a base.
Got to start somewhere. Build off the base.
The cheapest, probably one of the most unhealthiest foods. You can just in everything that we eat. And people wonder why our health system is buckling under the weight of these of heart disease, of cancers,
in addition to the virus right now.
Yeah. 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 Like my mom is really sensitive to different foods. She can't eat dairy. She can't eat many fruits. She, like, grapes are about the only fruits that she can actually eat, and strawberries as well. She can't eat wheat products. She's sensitive to most meats. But when she goes overseas, when she travels overseas, or when she goes visits her relatives, no problems whatsoever.
It's the quality then.
She eats everything overseas, but when she's here, she's following like a monastery, like a monk diet. Like, she eats like oatmeal, and then like she's strictly vegetarian, no dairy, no gluten, nothing. But when she goes to Kyrgyzstan, everything, she can eat everything.
Yeah, it's definitely the quality at that point then.
There's something,
you can sense the processing.
There's something deeply wrong with our food in this country.
It's processed 18,000 times before it makes its way to your mouth.
No, even we've switched to organic food. We've switched to like the best, like, okay, we're not eating like 3-star Michelin meals, but like, you know,
we're
finding the most eco-friendly, most healthy foods that we can find. But even then, she still has sensitivity to it.
Yeah.
Pesticides, herbicides, everything else. You can say it's organic. I don't know.
There's something wrong with the food that we're growing in this country. And I bet it has everything to do with the rise that we see in cancers and heart disease and diabetes and sensitivity and like celiac disease.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, my mom has celiacs. I mean, that wasn't even a thing like 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, there are people with celiacs overseas. I'm sure there are, but sensitivity to gluten, like, never even heard of that. My mom never even heard of that. Her mom was a doctor. Like,
it just wasn't a thing before. Yeah, it was not a concept that they had to worry about.
I know, right? It's like, it's like what's going on with all of this?
Yeah.
But anyway,
we have a lot of problems to attack.
We do have a lot
of problems. As the future of this country, we have a lot of things to.
We're too busy building up Skynet, but we don't have the farsightedness to see that our country is crumbling.
Yeah, we're too busy working on quantum computing, Luke.
Maybe those computers can help us figure out how to save our country.
Oh, maybe they can reverse cancer too.
Oh, Lordy. But yeah, anyway, so what else has Biden done? Oh yeah, so we're probably going to see another war under Biden.
You think so?
I was reading in the news today about how he's restarted these long-range bombing missions, or like bomber patrols, In the Gulf of Oman, like or near, like flying near Iran, Iranian airspace as a show of force to deter any aggression.
Interrogate, from, right? Just a little bit of aerial interrogation.
Deter in American lingo is to provoke. They're hoping. They're hoping they give them any excuse to invade and rebuild their democracy, rebuild it into a democracy, like we've done with Iraq, with great success.
I had to stop for a second to think about that. You're so confident in your response, you know?
Oh my gosh. Dude, I had one of the most, I think the most eye-opening class I ever took in college was with that one military professor. Shout out to Professor Bob Cassidy at Wesleyan. He was lifelong military, career military. Went in, enlisted as a private, worked his way up to a colonel. Worked in Special Operations Command in Afghanistan. He actually retired like 6 months before he started teaching, like at my school.
Wow.
And so he had like this storied 30-year-long career, got his PhD through the military from Tufts International School.
Nice.
The Fletcher School for International Affairs. And he taught a class on policy and strategy in American military conflict since Vietnam. So we were studying every military engagement most military engagements that the U.S. was involved in since Vietnam. And I would have thought that, you know, as this military, you know, career military guy, that he would be sort of like defending our interventionist policies. Okay. And in fact, he laid bare the problems of our stance towards just invading other countries because we feel like it. And then destabilizing entire regions, not just nations, entire regions, just making things worse. Like in Vietnam, we studied what was going on in Grenada. In the Latin American democracies that we, you know, or the regimes that we toppled, our intervention in Somalia, the Persian Gulf, the first Persian Gulf War, Iraq, the Iraq War, mm-hmm. The war in Afghanistan, and every single one of those conflicts. America ends up being the bad guy. You know, like it hasn't worked out. Korea, you can say, was the last time that America actually, you can positively say that it was not only was trying to do something good, but it actually ended up securing something stable, you know. And Somalia, like we were trying to, you know, like, have you seen Black Hawk Down?
Yes.
Yeah. So we were trying. There was a genuine humanitarian crisis, and America stepped in because they wanted to stop a famine that had killed by that point like over 400,000 people. Mm-hmm. There were these warlords that were competing for control, and it was so terrible. The UN would send food aid, and the warlords would seize it and use it as a weapon, and they would only distribute it to their followers in order to get more people on their side.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a terrible and messy situation. And then the U.S. came in, and then a Black Hawk Down events happened, and it was just a disaster. We left, and the situation was, you could say, even worse than it was before we stepped in. I mean, you look at our forever wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. No one, I mean, finally, Trump, I mean, one of the actual good things he did, foreign policy-wise, his administration brokered that peace agreement between the Afghan government and the Taliban. After, what is it, 19 years of war, we are finally pulling out of Afghanistan. And now Biden's taking this strong, you know, this strong posture towards China and Iran and Russia. It's
poking fun.
And I just hope that another war doesn't pop off.
Yeah. We can back up all this poking and that little interrogation here and there, but we don't want to start like something that we don't need to,
it's
right?
It's the engineers like you who ensure that our troops got the weapons they need.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, boy.
Anything for the sake of saving lives.
Man. We need more people in the public sector, like with infrastructure development and education and the healthcare sector.
That's where you come in.
And food.
That's where you come in.
That's where all of us come in.
You are going to be our main man on the inside, and we'll all segue. All
right.
after
him. We'll ascend in the political sphere, and then we'll effect some real change, huh?
I hope so. I hope so. You heard our group conversations. We all need to be under the same payroll. We all need to be in the same place.
There we go.
Working as a team, mm-hmm. collectively to
yes, sir.
To create something better, right?
Right, right, right.
Make amends.
Yep. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. But we're hoping that some good comes out of Biden's administration. You know, if anything, hopefully he'll... Man, the economy bounces back. What are you hoping for from Biden?
My stocks need... Well, we were on a win-loss today, you know? We can expect a rebound shortly. We can also expect a correction sometime with all the speculation we have. I need cheaper insulin. I need that, Luke. I need that.
Like
I need
water.
I need it. Following that, we need a lot of help with our healthcare system. We need to save lives as well. Most urgent probably is taking care of this coronavirus.
Honestly, I think if you solve the food problem in this country, you will solve the healthcare issue. The food.
Okay, but most directly, we need to attack this virus right now.
Oh,
well,
yeah, right now it's a pandemic. But every time you're reading the news, there's a new mutant COVID strain. Tell me about that.
Oh, I just saw a Twitter tweet. Oh my, what a meme. It says, new strain in California, just a casual strain of coronavirus, nothing to be worried about. New strain, whatever, already memes. Is it an indoor or outdoor strain? Is it a indica or a hybrid, a sativa, ? Just jokes on jokes. I don't know. I don't know where they're getting this from. A new casual strain, whatever that means. You know, it's casual for some people, probably, you know,
it's
deadly for others.
It's limited to art exhibits. It only visits art exhibits.
Apparently, right? Who knows? It only frequents coffee shops, right?
There we go.
Only frequents, you know, this or that, right?
The hippie coffee shops.
There you go. My favorites. It only frequents those, so I'm done for. I'm done for, Luke. I don't know. That in itself was comical, but again, worrisome with a new strain coming about.
Yeah.
Let's move down the list, Luke. Yep. What's next?
Well, that's our next topic of conversation. The COVID in California.
We have to close up on some COVID related news.
Yeah. So
right.
What is the update? I mean, the stay at home order has been lifted in California.
Wow.
It's good news.
Yeah. Crazy.
Hopefully restaurants will start reopening soon. People are getting vaccinated slowly, surely. They've just started vaccinating people age 65 and older.
Yeah. Well, they reshuffled the tiers and the qualifications for tiers as well. Don't know anything about it, just saw it in the news.
Really?
Some kind of reshuffling. There's some controversy there, some more unknown facts there. Okay. So there's just more unknown factors here, which create confusion and chaos and whatnot, also leading to the stock market dropping, of course. That's where I saw this on Business Insider, of course.
Business
they mentioned it, that's why.
Here we go.
Yeah. And with the stay-at-home order being lifted, what does that really mean? You can go and visit your friends at 2 a.m because there's nothing open.
There's nothing open.
There's no bars, clubs, blah, blah, blahs open at 2 a.m., right? Unless you're going to get boba at some places or ice cream at those late night spots. But you're not going out to get dinner at 2 a.m. unless you're going through a drive-thru, right?
Yeah.
You still can't do anything even past 10. Yeah. It doesn't really change much.
Until we're out of the water or until we're out of the danger zone of COVID. Yeah, there's not a whole lot you can do without endangering your relatives and your loved ones.
Your direct circle, yeah.
Yeah. Or if you live by yourself and you're young and you want to risk it.
For the biscuit.
There we go.
I don't know. It doesn't really change much, really.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I was reading that Chicago's proud and incorruptible mayor Lori Lightfoot has actually advocated for reopening restaurants because they believe, their health officials believe that the high spread of COVID in Chicago could be attributed to home gatherings.
Yes.
So they want to let people out so that they can actually regulate, you know, distance and
Gotcha. Yeah.
It's like kind of like the approach to alcohol during the prohibition. You make it illegal, it'll just drive it underground.
Yeah.
Got to make it illegal so you can regulate it.
And you can also tax it, right?
That's right.
Legalize it to tax it.
Just Lori like Lightfoot with marijuana. Is seeing a cut to her pension or to her paycheck. All the money that she's stealing from the people of Chicago.
Oh, really? It'll be made back somewhere else. Don't you worry.
Oh, I'm sure she will.
I am sure she's not losing sleep or money over anything.
Oh, boy. You know...
She's in the commander chair, okay? Geez.
Chicago. What a tragic story of that city of Chicago. You know, it's situated in Cook County, Illinois. But everybody calls it Crook County because of just... the widespread corruption at every level of government. It's tough, man. It's if you live in a city where you have just such violence, and just corruption that permeates through everything. Yeah, it's economic inequality. You gotta deal with that too.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we're spending money on all the wrong things. Spending money on defense when there's nothing left to defend.
We are buckling under the pressure, right? And we're still spending on defense?
What's the point of having the strongest military on Earth if you don't have a people to defend with it, you know?
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be out there being the world's police. That's not our obligation.
Well, currently we just need help in handling our own issues before we can,
right?
Why can't... disperse ourselves into other realms.
Well, it's always about money with war. You know, the military-industrial complex is always about
money. We're going to need reparations, Lou. We're going to need reparations. Money is a factor in all this.
If they just invest a fraction of what they spend for military and for defense spending. I love how they say defense. You know, it used to be the War Department, and then after World War II, they changed it to the Department of Defense.
What are we going to say, offense? Are we going to say offense, defense, Department of Offense?
It's certainly nobler sounding than War Department.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to think they're waging war.
Department of Offense.
Even though we've started every war that we've been involved in since World War II. Or we've kind of butted our heads into it.
Yeah. A little bit of poking your head into places where it doesn't belong.
Yeah.
But
what else has been on your mind lately?
Honestly, not much. Not much goes on up there. The mouse is not turning the wheel that quick. Lately, at least.
Don't worry, you've been hard at work with job applications.
So have you.
Yeah, shout out to all of our brothers and sisters who are currently applying to jobs. It's a tough market.
Hell yeah.
Hang in there.
Keep your heads up, kings and queens.
There we go.
And on that note, we can close off this evening at 8:28 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Wednesday, January 27th, year 2021.
Luke. There we go. Yeah, everybody stay safe, stay warm, stay healthy, hug your loved ones, and... yeah, we'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.